The Rose City Forum.
The place Portland goes to speak their mind.
The Rose City Forum with Andy Zimmerman.
Have an opinion? We'd like to hear it. 503-242-1330.
You're listening to The Rose City Forum. Here's Andy Zimmerman.
How are you doing today, Portland? I hope you're doing just great. Thanks for keeping us at KKPZ 1330 with you during your lunch hour today at 12 o'clock. If you're listening on the replay at 6, well, a happy good evening to you as well. Wherever you are, if you're in your car at home, listening online or listening on the TuneIn app. I can talk today. On the TuneIn app, I'm just happy you're with us today. And especially today, because we are going to be talking about something that doesn't get talked a lot about, at least in my circles. We're talking about traumatic brain injuries. And this covers a wide range of symptoms and experiences with different people. But it's coming up more. In fact, March was National Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. It's TBI for short, so we might be referring to it as TBI. May, this month, is National Stroke Awareness Month, and a lot of the same symptoms, they share the same symptoms, traumatic brain injuries and stroke. Our own Miss Portland, Allie Wallace, her platform is actually traumatic brain injury. She couldn't be here with us today, but I wanted to just put that out there that it's something that we're bringing more awareness to. You may have a traumatic brain injury yourself. Maybe you know of someone. Maybe you don't think you know of someone, but might. I have on the show today Amy Zellmer. She's a contributor at Huffington Post, but also a survivor of a traumatic brain injury herself. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Amy, you have a great interest in traumatic brain injury, and I happen to know that it's because you suffer from one.
Yep.
So, you've written a lot, which is great, and actually how I found you. I myself, some of our listeners know, suffered a stroke many years ago, and though I look fine and am talking fine right now, there are just times where I know that you can relate, times I feel like a flake, times that I feel like my symptoms are coming back, but people look at me and they don't necessarily know that anything is wrong. But on the inside, I'm like, something's wrong. And I know you have a lot of those symptoms as well. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And you're totally right. People, you know, it's a very invisible injury and people really don't truly understand it. And, you know, when you were kind of giving the intro earlier talking about traumatic brain injury, it really kind of occurred to me that, you know, the word traumatic brain injury, to a lot of people, I think they think that that's like the most severe cases.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, it's not.
I mean,
it's people like you and I walking around. We look normal. We talk. We walk. We function. But in our brains, they're not working right. You know, we forget things. We can't come up with words. We have headaches. It's very exciting to be on your show today and be able to help spread the awareness and, you know, dispel some of the myths about traumatic brain injury and concussion.
That's perfect. Why don't you share with our listeners kind of your story, how you got your traumatic brain injury, how you've really taken a voice for traumatic brain injury since it's happened?
Yeah, last February, so about 15 months ago, I live in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And if you're not familiar, we have really bad winters that time. And last winter in particular was really, really cold. It was colder than usual. We had a lot of ice that just didn't go away. And I was out. I had to take the dog out and move my car. And I was walking down our driveway at my building. And I have a bit of an incline to it. And I was carrying my dog. She's a little Yorkie. And so I was carrying her in my arm, and I had no warning. It was just, boom, I was down. And I heard my head hit the pavement. And I'll never forget that sound.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
Horrible sound. And I knew right away, this is bad. This I mean, that was bad. I hit my heart, my head hard. And I didn't think that I had blacked out. Like, I thought I was up right away.
Mm-hmm.
But then when my doctor kind of took me through it, he was like, well, where was your dog? You were holding her when you fell. Where was she? And I'm like, I had to think. And I actually had to sit up and reach for her leash. So she was at least maybe like 6 or 8 feet away from me. So I was at least unconscious for a couple seconds at least.
Sure.
You know, that she was able to walk away from me. And I knew immediately it was bad. I mean, like, there was no ambiguity whether or not I had, you know, a concussion for sure. You know, like, I was really dazed and confused. And I went to a chiropractic neurologist
mm-hmm.
right away. And he's like, oh, yeah, you've got a really good concussion. And I had so many other injuries. I also had whiplash, and I had pulled a couple muscles in my neck and shoulders and chest. And so we really didn't think a whole lot about my concussion in those first couple weeks. I mean, like, we knew that I was having cognitive difficulties and memory problems. But it wasn't until about 8 weeks into it that he was like, okay, I think you need to go to a neurologist. I think we need to look into this deeper. So, yeah.
Well, that's
kind of my story in a nutshell.
But did you have, so I think if it would have happened to me, I'm trying to think if I would have had the, sometimes, well, I can even say this with my stroke. I mean, it took me 2 days to actually go see a doctor because I thought, oh, it's nothing. Oh, my arm doesn't work, but I'm probably just really tired, you know? And so when you went to the doctor right away, I'm wondering, did you know, okay, I'm going to the doctor, or did you go, oh,
yes,
that was a really bad fall. Geez, I should probably lay down and get over it. But
no,
you sounded like you were
right away.
I
hit my head really bad. I knew it was bad. I mean, I saw the stars and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I could tell, like, I couldn't even read my computer monitor. I tried to look up emergency rooms and I couldn't even read my monitor.
Yeah. Then that's definitely
blurry. And, you know, you hear these stories about people who get concussions and then they go to sleep and never wake up again.
Yes,
so
it's true.
Like, oh, I need to get this looked at.
So did you live alone at this
time? I was very aware.
Did you live alone?
I live alone.
Okay. So nobody there. That's actually a little scary in itself, I think. There was nobody there. Okay, well, good for you for going to the doctor and getting that taken care of. But so that happened. When did you start saying, hey, I need to write more about this? Or, I mean, I didn't even know that there was a Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. You said you went to Washington, D.C. for that. I mean, when did all this come up, and how have you been involved in the community?
Yeah, you know, so I'll kind of go back to when I first fell, and I was writing about it. And, you know, in the beginning, we were just calling it a concussion.
Yes, right.
And to be very clear to the listeners, every concussion is a brain injury.
Yes.
Even if you don't have, like, outward signs, according to the CDC, every concussion is a brain injury. And then, you know, you can hit your head multiple times before you maybe have symptoms. So it's kind of a complex model. But I had posted on Facebook, you know, that I had a pretty severe concussion. And, you know, I was trying to update my friends and keeping them informed. And some people were writing kind of mean things on my Facebook post, people that I thought were true life friends. They were writing like, oh, it's just a concussion. You're going to be fine. Like, you know, people are dealing with bigger things like cancer and diabetes and whatever. And
mm-hmm.
I was really hurt by it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't talk about it much publicly. And I think it kind of like, it was just festering inside of me. And when I got to my 1 year anniversary, I wrote a blog post that I just shared on my own website, and a friend encouraged me to submit it to Huffington Post. And so that's the article that became my story on Huffington Post.
Well, that's great.
So that's kind of how that came to be, is it kind of became like my own personal journal, so to speak. And I was just floored at the response that I got from it. People were emailing me, messaging me, Facebooking me, like telling me how my story resonated with them and they felt the same way. And I was like, wow, Like, I'm not the only one dealing with this.
Well, and that's like, true.
Suddenly, yeah.
Exactly. And
I feel very isolated.
I am going to come back to what you said or address what you just said, because I am guilty 100%. My sister has been in a car accident recently within the last year, and she also suffered a concussion. She actually had to go to I'm getting this wrong. I know it, but something to do with her eyes in neurology. So I don't know if there are neurologic.
Neuro-ophthalmologist.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. That's exactly what she went to go see. You would know. Anyway, but I was that and still am. I will text her after the show and apologize to her. But I was the one that said, oh, come on. It's a concussion. Like, because my kids after soccer games, you know, their friends get concussions so easily. It seems like every soccer game has someone leaving with a concussion and, you know, they're out of school for a couple days and then, or they go back or it's like a bad headache. And so for me and my awareness of what a concussion is, in fact, our youngest daughter, when she was 3, she kind of bumped her head on a desk and, you know, small concussion. We didn't think anything of it. It was like, yeah, bummer, get over it. And very much am I guilty for thinking that about my sister. I knew she was in a car accident, and of course she had other injuries and things that were going wrong. But I am very guilty of saying it's just a concussion, you know? So I just want to, like, for all of those people on Facebook that put that out there to you, I think maybe it's not, my intent wasn't malicious, but to think that it's so common.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said earlier, every single concussion is a brain injury.
Yeah. Like you said.
And, you know, when you, to define it as a traumatic brain injury means loss of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Technically, you know, there's a whole lot more that goes into the equation, but a loss of consciousness is restarting you into traumatic brain injury.
So is that the difference between a regular concussion or a regular, you can't say that, but if you don't lose consciousness, then it's not a TBI?
Not entirely true.
Okay. Okay.
That's where they start the measurement of it. It's kind of, if you go to the CDC website, it's like cdc.gov, I think, and look for the traumatic brain injury. They do a really good job of explaining it.
Oh, perfect.
And, you know, a concussion in one person, like a 8-year-old maybe bumps their head in a soccer game, they're a little dazed for a minute, and then they're fine, and they may never have another issue in their lifetime from it. Where another 8-year-old kid could get bumped in the head with a soccer ball, maybe be dazed and confused, but then, like, months later start showing signs. So it's just, our brains are just so complex that it's really hard to differentiate from one person to another what's going to cause what.
I agree with you, and I think that's what makes this whole thing so scary. Mm-hmm. I think that you watch your 8-year-old or, you know, my 3-year-old bumping her head on a desk, and, okay, dude, you're fine. Like, you know,
and, you know,
have a popsicle. Get over it.
And I think, you know, professional sports have really downplayed what concussions are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Joe Namath just coming out and talking about how he probably wouldn't do it again if given the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other, I'm blanking on his name, but he was a rookie and he chose to retire instead of play because he couldn't justify the risk.
Well,
so,
and then a football player.
I think
player,
more professional athletes start coming out about concussions and how their you know, TBIs and their long-term effects of them. I think maybe then the general public will start understanding
and
a
just,
little bit more.
Right. It's symptoms that you can't even tell. And I'm thinking, too, of Junior Seau, who was a San Diego Charger, very close to my heart. He ended up committing suicide, but it turned out that all of these were all of his issues were due to head injuries from, you know, being whacked in the head one too many times. Amy, we have to pause for just a few moments, but when we come back, I want to talk more about symptoms and things that you're not even aware of. Like, we're talking about the 8-year-old who all of a sudden has problems. I'm sure if you're anything like me, that as time goes by, you're like, wait, what? That was related to that? And, you know, right. All kinds of fun stuff like that. So we'll share that with our listeners in just a few moments. Listeners, if you've had a traumatic brain injury or have any questions for Amy, give us a call at the studio, 503-242-1330, or you can leave a message on our Rose City Forum Facebook page and we'll discuss these things. This is the Rose City Forum with Andy Zomerman.
You're listening to the Rose City Forum.
This is Andy Zomerman. I'm here with Amy Zellmer. She's a contributor of Huffington Post, but she's also a voice for traumatic brain injuries. I've asked Amy to come on the show today because there are a lot of things with a traumatic brain injury that you, if you don't have one or don't know someone that has one, might not see. And so sometimes with invisible illnesses, and it's not just brain illnesses, but it could be things like, well, multiple sclerosis is a brain illness, but things like multiple sclerosis or maybe epilepsy or something that you don't see. Oftentimes on social media, I'll see people ranting or people saying, oh, I saw somebody park in a disabled parking space and I got so mad because they got out of their car and they just started walking like they had no problems. And part of me sometimes says, wait a second. You don't know everything that's going on with that person. And, you know, I'm just trying to bring a little bit of awareness and asking Amy to share a little bit of that awareness of what can really happen on the things that you may not see on the outside. So, Amy, let's talk about some of the symptoms of your traumatic brain injury and what others might experience as well. You have obviously the symptoms right when you had the accident of falling on the ice, headache, seeing mm-hmm. stars, things like that. But what are some things that later on and even now you experience that people might just not see, but you might wish they had compassion for?
Right. Yeah. In the beginning, I had a lot of issues with short-term memory. Mm. Like I could literally pull up Google and, or, you know, say, okay, I need to Google how to make a hot dish or whatever. And I pull up Google, and by the time I literally pulled up, I forgot what I was looking up. And it's gone. It's gone. I might remember it 2 hours later, but I can't pull it back up in that moment.
Mm.
I had a lot of trouble with words. I couldn't come up with a word. I'd be in the middle of a sentence, and I remember talking to my lawyer, and I couldn't come up with the word billboard. And oh. I'm like, that's thing on the side of the road, the big thing with okay. words on it.
This makes me laugh, Amy, because that is such a problem of mine so many times. And then I'm like, what's my job? I'm on the radio. Like where you need words.
And people all the time, and I know that they mean well, but they're like, oh, I do that too. I know what you mean. And it's like, no, this is so different because previous to my accident, you know, you'd have those little episodes.
Sure.
But they were different because the word was there. You just had to search for it. But this is different. It's a black hole. It's
yeah.
not even there. It's just, it's so frustrating. When I first fell, I remember I couldn't figure out how to use the ATM machine. I couldn't figure out how to use my microwave. That actually took a little while to really remember how to use the microwave in the oven.
Wow.
And the fatigue was mm-hmm. just unreal.
Mm-hmm.
I would sleep 14, 15 hours at night, plus take a 2 to 3 hour nap in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But it makes sense because the only time your brain can heal is when it's asleep. Because when you're using it, it can't heal.
Right.
And so that did make sense to me. And fortunate or unfortunate, you know, being self-employed, I had the flexibility in my schedule, and I really had to cut back on my work because the more I worked, the more fatigued I was. So it was kind of a vicious circle for a while.
How was that for you financially? Now, because if you're self-employed, you don't get, I mean, when I did have my stroke, I was working, so I got disability. So how
right.
did that work with you?
Nope.
You just ate less.
Yep. It was pretty stressful for a while.
I can imagine.
You know, fortunately, everything worked out, but it was stressful. And even today, I still have quite a bit of memory issue. It's that short term.
Mm.
And then The word stuff has subsided. Every once in a while, it'll creep up, but in general, the word stuff has gotten better. But then all of a sudden, I started getting ringing in my ears.
Oh.
That was new. And I'm like, okay, what is this all about? And I thought it's somewhat common for symptoms to kind of pop up a year or so later. So I thought that was interesting.
Is that something that comes and goes, or do you have that tinnitus all the time?
No, it's not all the time, thank goodness. It'll just come out of nowhere, and it'll last for maybe 30 seconds to a minute. So it's not, you know, unbearable, but when it first started happening, it was like, what the heck is this? Yeah, and you know, you start learning coping mechanisms, and you know, like I started to kind of understand if I have 3 sessions today, I have to take the next 2 days off from shooting.
Yes.
You know, so you kind of learn how to cope with it, I guess you could say.
Well,
and I'm high functioning. Mm-hmm, I'm considered high functioning because clearly I can talk, I can walk. There's people that I just talked with, a woman, she has seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not allowed to be pretty much by herself. She can drive, but only if someone's with her. She has a pool in her backyard, but she can't use the pool if no one else is home.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, and again, she's high functioning as well. She can walk and talk and look fine. But she has these seizures from a result of her TBI.
Yeah, I want to say that again, too, that traumatic brain injuries is not the same as like being admitted into a brain trauma unit where, you know, you could be at a vegetative state or something like that. This is traumatic brain injuries.
Well, and that is a TBI.
Oh, do they still call those TBIs as well?
Well, I mean, you could have a severe TBI. I mean, there's people that are in comas for months.
And that's still considered
a
TBI.
And then in a vegetative, and then some of them can come back from that. Some of them can't. So, and that's where that misnomer comes from. People, when they think of traumatic brain injury, they think of those really severe cases, and they don't understand that whole spectrum in between.
Right. I get that. Okay. That makes sense to me. I was trying to get all of this, you know, defined a little bit. And I actually read some of the things I read said that stroke was a traumatic brain injury. Some of the things I read said that no, stroke doesn't count as a traumatic brain injury.
This is how I understand it. So strokes, aneurysms, brain tumors, those are technically classified as acquired brain injury.
Makes sense.
Because it was acquired. It wasn't a trauma that happened. But a lot of people identify with both because it's still a trauma to your brain.
Yes.
So it all falls under the brain injury spectrum, but that's kind of how they differentiate the two.
Well, and that, I think, is what drew me to you when I saw all of your writings. And by the way, I'll post Amy's writings on our Rose City Forum Facebook page so you can look at those as well. But that's what drew the similarities between, I think you had one post, you know, five things I wish, you know, every TBI survivor wants you to understand.
Yeah.
Things like that. And I just, like you said, how you book 3 sessions and then you need to take 2 days off. For me, and I wonder for you too, that even all these years later is something that is so hard to accept. You want to be able to do what you know you should be able to do. And I don't know about, I don't know for you what's the hardest to accept, but for me, that is the hardest to accept.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's the invisible portion that people really don't see. They don't understand our frustration. For me, I have a lot of cognitive processing issues. Like I might see a stop sign and not know whether it means stop or not.
Ugh.
Like I know that it means stop, but not to make it sound like I'm a scary driver, but this is a very extreme example. You know, and I think people just can't even understand the frustration that we go through. And it took me like 8-9 months to understand, if I shoot 3 sessions today, I need to take 2 days off of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And once I finally realized that, I felt better.
I don't think we talked about your career yet, but to the listeners, I want to say she's a photographer.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
That's what she means by shooting session.
I'm not shooting people. Well, Well, I am shooting people. Now
with a camera. It's with a camera. So would you say that...
That's the frustrating part that people don't understand. And the fatigue. I don't know about you, but that fatigue. And that still creeps in. If I overdo it, that fatigue will just creep right in.
It's embarrassing sometimes. You feel like a little kid. And, you know, I was even telling a friend there was an event happening last week. And I said, well, I could probably make it if I take a nap that day. Because I'm 4 years old.
Yep. And people think that we're just exaggerating or, you know, whatever it is that they're thinking. And I don't know, do you suffer from anxiety at all? I never had anxiety. And just in the last, 6 months, anxiety started creeping in. And when it first hit, honestly, was when we started getting winter here again.
Yes.
And I was terrified of falling on the ice again. I'll have anxiety about going out into crowded places.
Let's talk about that more.
We've never had that before.
We have to pause for a few minutes, but I do want to bring that in because part of traumatic brain injury or any brain injury for that matter does come actually with depression and anxiety. So I want to say, I don't know if half the time, most of the time, and I know that it does. That's something that my neurologist actually explained to me as well. So we need to pause for a few minutes, but I do want to talk more about the depression and anxiety piece when we continue our conversation. If you want to be part of this conversation, give us a call at the studio, 503-242-1330.
Spring cleaning is routine for us all. Well, the same goes for our car. When has your car had a full checkup? When have you changed your transmission fluid or your engine oil? How about flushing your radiator? Do you hate dealing with car stuff? Hi, this is Tim from Tim's Automotive. Car maintenance and repairs should never be an ordeal. As my customer, I want you to feel confident that we'll get your car back in shape for spring. I want your car fixed right the first time, and I want you to know that I stand behind my work 12 months or 12,000 miles on parts and labor. My staff is trained to listen carefully to what you say, and we have master technicians ready to work on your car. I don't want your life to be interrupted while we have your vehicle in our shop. We often have vehicles for you to borrow until we complete the work on your car.
Tim's Automotive, conveniently located off Highway 212 in Clackamas, 503-656-0600. At Tim's, they know it's not just your car, it's your freedom.
Let your car wander, shimmy or shake. Tim's Automotive will keep your car in shape. Tim's Automotive.
We've been talking a lot about the great spring cleaning special that Tim's is having right now. You can get an oil change, tire rotation, and new wiper blades for just $45 for mentioning the KKPZ spring cleaning special. You can call today to set up an appointment at 503-656-0600. That's 503-656-0600. Or just stop by the shop at 135th and Highway 212 in Clackamas. They can be found online at tims-automotive.com. And Amy Zellmer and I are here today talking about traumatic brain injuries. Amy's a contributor at Huffington Post. She is a voice for traumatic brain injuries. March was the National Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. But this month, May, is the National Stroke Awareness Month. And brain, anything that happens to your brain kind of shares the same similarities. A lot of identical symptoms. Anything that happens to your brain just makes you a little bit different than you were before it happened. We're talking, though, about how a brain injury can actually be the cause or exacerbate depression and anxiety. We were talking about anxiety a little bit before, and Amy was saying how she was scared or anxious, had anxiety attacks about being afraid to fall on the ice. And actually, Amy, I was in the doctor's office so many times, I would say probably the 2 years following my stroke, saying it's happening again, it's happening again. And finally they're like, okay, here, take this anxiety med. You'll be fine. Here, just take this little pill. You won't feel that again.
We're done with you. Take this pill.
But really, no, I cannot do crowds anymore at all. Costco, I can't do Costco by myself. Or I have to go to Costco. Do you have Costco in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Or is it okay?
Yep.
I was gonna say, or is it just Sam's Club? We don't have Sam's Club, but so things like that. So you're noticing the same type of things, yeah?
Yeah, I had never had anxiety that I was aware of. And another symptom that I had that I kind of forgot to mention, and is another really common one, is like stimulation, overstimulation,
yes,
whether it's visual or audio.
Yes.
And that overstimulation in public can really cause me anxiety. Mm. And I don't know why, you know, like, it's like, why do I get this anxiety? But like, for instance, I was out at Applebee's. It was getting to be the busy dinner rush. There was lots of people talking. The music was playing. There was a TV on. And the person I was there with, I couldn't even pay attention to them. I'm just like, we have to leave. Like,
it was my so palms are
hard.
Starting to sweat right now just by you saying that. So it's not, but, and I want to say to our listeners too, this has been something I've heard from not just traumatic brain injury survivors or stroke survivors, but also those with multiple sclerosis. And we were talking about epilepsy before.
Yep.
Any time that your brain is on overload. And one thing that my neurologist said to me that was really helpful, and I've been taking this with me, he said, wherever your injury happened in your brain, whether it was a concussion or, you know, so much as a stroke, your brain has the amazing ability. I mean, I'm in shock. God has wired our brains so amazingly,
yeah.
But your brain can actually rewire itself. So when I had paralysis and then I got my right side back, it was because my brain rewired itself over the dead spot, so to speak. Very medical. You can tell that I just am ready to be a doctor, but the brain rewires itself so that it can do what it used to do. It's fascinating how it can do that. However, when you have any sort of other trauma, whether it's you're overtired, whether it's you're overstimulated, maybe
mm-hmm.
you're sick,
yep.
maybe you're stressed, your brain will unwire in order to
yep.
take care of that immediate trauma. And so I think that's where a lot of these symptoms come in, where we're overstimulated, or, you know, for me, it's stress and being overtired. If I'm overtired, I will lose my speech. I just don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's when my words start getting, that's when I have the word recall issues. If I'm really tired, I don't even know what word I want.
And like I said, it's embarrassing and it's frustrating. I remember being out with girlfriends one day, and it was, you know, we were out for dinner, just talking as girlfriends do, four of us. And all of a sudden it was 10 and then it was 11. And I was too embarrassed to say, I need to leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was,
yeah.
And
I'm a party pooper. Yeah.
But in all actuality, and then the next day was gone for me, right? It was a waste of
yes.
a day because I couldn't do anything.
Yes. And the only thing I can explain it like is if you have way too much to drink and you're so hungover the next day, you can't
yes.
do anything. It's similar to that. Like you literally can't function the next day if you've overdone it.
And it actually feels a little bit like you're intoxicated
yeah.
When you have that
yep.
tired and your speech start slurring and your arms aren't
yep.
moving the way they're supposed to move.
Yeah. When I know I'm in like a bad, like a funk, because
mm-hmm.
they're kind of cyclical for me. It'll be at least a couple days when I do get into one of those. It starts out with some dizziness.
Yes.
And then I know that all this other stuff's going to, you know, pile up on it. I won't even drink anything. Like I won't even have a glass of wine with dinner.
Right.
Because that just even adds more to it. So.
Right. Right, right.
Yeah.
I agree with that too. Any time that I'm supposed to be with it, it's not just like having one glass of wine at dinner like most people do. If I am afraid of getting overtired or afraid of that, I'll need, you know, to be cognitively aware. I just pass on the wine that night.
Yep.
Amy, you wrote actually a post, 5 things every TBI survivor wants you to understand. I kind of wanted to go through those and maybe you could explain each one in your own words. The first one you want, and we've kind of been talking about, our brains no longer work the same. So
yep.
we've kind of been talking about that this whole time, right? Is there
yep.
anything more you wanted to add to that or...
No, I think we've really covered that one. But, you know, sometimes, especially if people don't really know,
mm.
you know, that you've had a brain injury, like maybe it's a client or a new person that you're just meeting, it's kind of, like you said, it's a little bit embarrassing sometimes because you come across a flaky. And I am to a point now where I can own my TBI, and I'll be like, you know what, I have a traumatic brain injury, and I apologize because I'm having a really bad brain day today, and my words aren't coming out right. Mm-hmm. And people, they're cool with it when you explain it to them, but for a long time, I was, like, ashamed and embarrassed to even talk about it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get that. You also talked about this a little bit. We suffer a great deal of fatigue.
Yes.
So that is, and that's true. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything else to talk about. You have a quote, and I'd like to read it. You quoted
that's a
somebody
great
else.
Quote. Yeah. Yes, from Tony.
Yeah. So she said, "I love doing things others do. However, my body does not appreciate the strain and causes me to pay the price, which is something that others don't see. I like to describe that my cognitive physical energy is like a change jar. Every time I do something, it costs a little something out of the jar. If I keep taking money out of the jar without depositing anything back in the jar, eventually I run out of energy. I just don't know when this will happen. That's the hard part. I just don't know when this will happen. Sometimes it's from an activity that seemed very simple, but more work than I intended. For me, like others with TBIs, I'm not always aware of it until after I've done too much." And I think that cinches it right there. You sometimes don't
like
know.
That's like the best quote. Mm-hmm. I love her quote.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, and that's what, luckily my husband understands, thank goodness. And I think my friends really do understand, but I am the one in my situation that's like, I just want to be able to do what I used to do.
Yeah.
So we talked about this. We live with fear and anxiety. We talked about the anxiety. Do you still live in fear?
You know, when winter hit again this last winter, I definitely had a lot of fear. Of falling. I started therapy with a therapist, and that helped tremendously. I know a lot of people are kind of scared of therapy, but I found it to be extremely helpful. He really kind of helped me work through some of those issues of fear, because I was scared of even just falling, like any kind of incline, because it was just enough of an incline, it wasn't a hill, you know what I mean? And so anytime I walk down an incline, I'm always kind of like, be careful. So I do still have some fear, but it's now morphed more into anxiety.
Yeah, that anxiety is a kicker, man.
I definitely, you kind of touched on this earlier, we never talked more about it, but the depression. I definitely went through really bad, like, it was right before the anxiety kicked in. I was really, really depressed.
Yeah.
And there, I don't remember the exact statistic. It's also on the CDC site. But, like, people with TBI are, like, 2 times more likely to commit suicide.
Yep. And
so that's a pretty staggering fact.
It is. And when you're, I can see that. I mean, depression, I mean, it is all in the brain. So when your brain is out of whack, you know, something's got to give. And like you said, I think it's really important to put therapy out there. Our listeners here on Rose City Forum know that I am pro-therapy all the time. We have lots of conversations about therapy. But that is something, any injury, actually, I would see a therapist being a benefit to just getting over. I mean, when I was a kid, it's not a brain injury, but I was in a car accident. I was afraid to drive. You know, I didn't want to drive.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So, I can only imagine.
So I think therapy is good for that, too. You know, we are going to continue with number 4 and 5 in just a few moments. We have to pause one more time. But I encourage listeners to go ahead and write in on the Rose City Forum Facebook page if you have anything you want to share, or call us here at the studio, 503-242-1330. And we'll talk about numbers 4 and 5 in just a few moments.
You're listening to the Rose City Forum. Here's Andy Zellmerman.
And I'm here talking with Amy Zellmer today, the voice for traumatic brain injuries on Huffington Post. March was Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. This month is Stroke Awareness Month. We're talking about 5 things every TBI, traumatic brain injury survivor, wants you to understand. I'll go over the ones we've talked about so far. Our brains no longer work the same. We suffer a great deal of fatigue. We live with fear and anxiety. I'm going to add depression to that as well. But number 4 is we deal with chronic pain. What do you deal with, Amy?
Mm-hmm. So for a lot of us, our traumatic brain injuries came with other physical injuries. You know, whether it was a car accident or, you know, a sporting accident, or in my case, you know, slip and fall. For me personally, I suffered really bad whiplash. I dislocated my sternum and my rib cage. I tore some muscles in my neck and my shoulder, my chest. And so for the first, like, 8 weeks, we didn't even really focus on my brain injury. We were
right.
focusing on all these physical problems. But then we also have chronic pain as it goes on. Like, I still have issues with my whiplash. I still have problems with the exact spot where I hit my head. I'll get stabbing pain. And chronic pain is exhausting.
Yeah.
And then add that on top of a brain injury that already causes fatigue. Some days it's really hard to get anything done. You know, I mean, I've come to kind of honor my body, and I'm having a really, really bad day. I might just cancel all my appointments for the day and simply just veg out in my bed or on the couch. Because sometimes there's just nothing more you can do. And, you know, sometimes going back to the anxiety and the fear and the fatigue and the chronic pain, put it all together, you know, I might have plans to go out tomorrow night to, you know, an event. Come that night, crap, I can't go. I can't do it. I hurt. I'm tired. You know, my brain's not working. And people think that you're kind of being a flake, or that... you know, you're ditching them, or, you know, they don't understand. And I think that's the hardest part for me. And that's why I've taken such a voice, and trying to bring awareness to people of what we deal with, because traumatic brain injury is the number one cause of death in the United States. Every 13 seconds, someone in the U.S. suffers a traumatic brain injury. I mean, it's a huge statistic, yet, like, it's the least known thing, really. So
have you given yourself...
I appreciate you having me here to bring the awareness.
Of course. Well, it's, I mean, like I said, I was very excited to read your posts and say, hey, I can relate to that. Have you given yourself grace every time you need to cancel an event or anything like that?
No.
Yeah, I know. That's something I struggle with a lot.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Oh, and do you want to wear a t-shirt sometimes that says, I promise I'm not trying to be a flake?
Yes, I know.
Well, and that, you know, that brings me to number 5 of your posts. We often feel isolated and alone.
Yes. Yep.
So, I mean, do you want to talk more about that?
You know, and I mean, I think that's just a compilation of everything we've already talked about. You know, we have all these things going on inside our brain and our physical bodies, and people don't understand from the outside, and then they just don't understand concussion and the brain injury, and like, you're just faking it, or you can't be that bad, you can walk and talk. I heard you on the radio yesterday, you sounded totally fine. What do you mean you can't come out today? And you know, it's like, you just don't understand. You don't understand that change jar has been drained. I have no more energy.
What can we do?
Yeah,
what can we do? Also, I mean, you are doing a great thing by writing for Huffington Post and getting the word out there. What are some other ways that, not just for you and for me, but for anyone mm-hmm. who suffers from a TBI or stroke or multiple sclerosis or epilepsy what's the one I'm missing? Fibromyalgia.
Oh, fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything like that that's an invisible injury. How can we help others understand so that there is compassion? Do you have any ideas mm-hmm. other than being the tremendous voice that you are?
You know, I think, well, obviously I have the Huffington Post as a vehicle. Not everyone has that. But, I mean, even just writing your own blog post, putting it on Facebook, having conversations with friends. I definitely had conversations with some friends who really wanted to understand. And I was more than happy to share that with them. I think also getting involved in organizations, I think almost most states have a brain injury alliance. We have one here in Minnesota, and it's a great organization. Whether you are a survivor yourself or a caregiver or a friend, you know, a loved one, getting involved in some of their activities, going the one here in Minnesota, we have a conference coming up for survivors and loved ones. So, you know, getting involved in things like that,
That's wonderful.
If you are a survivor, you know, telling your friends and family about these organizations so that they can read it and understand it. The CDC has some really great information, and brainline.org has a lot of really great information.
Okay, I will actually link a couple of those up to the Rose City Forum Facebook page, and if I forget, I might email you to get some more of those as well. I was thinking, I got lucky in my church group. We have just fabulous women who are so supportive, and I'm thinking that maybe some of this is just sitting down with your friends and telling them what's going on, because as a general population, as a country, National Awareness Month, that's awesome. But really, it's the people around you who surround you every day, I think, who can be the most support to you. We had our church, we have a pretty small church, but we had a Monday night Bible study that everybody went to, and I just couldn't go anymore. It started at 7, but by the time it ended at 9, I was gone. I mean, it was even scary to drive home. So, you know, some of them said,
my bedtime is between 9 and 10.
I know.
I'm like a little kid.
No, that's what I say all the time. I need my nap. I'm 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but just, I think, you know, telling those close to you and in your inner circle, you know, some of the struggles that you have, that's what I was going to say, is that some of my friends then said, well, let's do another Bible study too, and we'll just do it in the morning. And so that works, you know, much better. I've got a good group of friends, but use that, right? I mean, I'm sure those close to you know what's going on, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, well, Amy, I just want to say thank you for taking time out today to, you know, bring out the awareness for traumatic brain injury. I hope listeners that some of you were able to learn something. Like I said, I will ask Amy for those links to everything we were talking about today and put those up on the Rose City Forum Facebook page. Thanks so much, Amy, for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me and really just for allowing me to have an hour just to talk about TBI. It's so awesome to be getting the word out there and growing the awareness. So thank you so much, Andy, for having me.
Of course. And I'm glad for all you're doing. So let me know how else I can help. Well, listeners,
thank you.
Our next show, we will have Jamie Torkowski. He is from To Write Love on Her Arms. He wrote the book If You Feel Too Much. He'll be at Powell's Cedar Hills on Saturday for a book signing, but he is here tomorrow to talk with us about his new book. Also, the Shattering Stigma Conference is happening at New Hope Community Church on Saturday. That deals with mental illness in the church, talking about shattering the mental illness stigma. If you heard part of this and didn't catch the whole show, don't forget to catch the replay at 6 o'clock tonight. We're also on podcast on TalkShoe, iTunes, and Stitcher. Portland, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the sun, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Rose City Forum with Andy Zomerman. Keep the conversation going on Facebook and Twitter at Rose City Forum. Join us each weekday live from noon to one. The opinions and views heard today on the Rose City Forum were that of the host, guests, and listeners, and may not necessarily reflect the views of the Crawford Broadcasting Company, its ownership, management, or staff. Become a sponsor of the Rose City Forum. Call KKPZ right now at 503-242-1950.
Well, Portland, Oregon, and Slogan Fins, if that ain't love, then tell me what is,